All right, then let's go to seven, discussion and possible action on the review and of request for use of mag peak factor. Tony.
So there, at present, we've not received a formal request. Our recommendation is that we reach out to the various 13 groundwater conservation districts, engage them, and determine their level of interest in engaging or utilizing a mag peak factor. And then we would come back to you with input at the January meeting. Hey.
Any other is there any other questions from committee or any other discussion on this item before we leave this item? We do still have this public comment that I would like to briefly address. Tony is prepared to talk about that. Is it okay with everyone if we address that for just a moment? All right. Well, then would you like me to read this into the, sure. All right. So we have public comment here from John Asbury. This email was sent Monday, November 27th, just before noon, to the Brazos G Regional Planning Group. Open comment for today's meeting. Good morning to all. Hope you have a productive meeting. Would like to make a few comments / suggestions to Mag Peak Factor, soon to be started in the Region G planning area by the local groundwater districts groups, if approved by TWDB. It's nice to have a reasonable answer to a situation facing the Texas water problem. My suggestion is to use a 10-year average on the mag factors to compute the new totals to be permitted for use by the groundwater districts. The mag peak factors should be refigured every 2 to 3 years and resubmitted to reapproval by TWDB as they may change with time. Mag peak factors should be part of the present mag form when considering a new well permit by the groundwater districts. I'm not sure how to put in the equation the exempt wells data and figuring the total. I probably am using the incorrect formula, so please use the better formula if mine is incorrect. This example is from the mag for the Clearwater District for October 2023. He gives an example, mag peak factor equals the average mag total times 10 permitted acre feet over / past years average production for exempt and non-exempt in acre feet. Thus, mag peak factor is 17,267 acre feet equals 9275 times 5075 divided by 1933 plus 793 for the 9275 mag. Present permitted water used at present is 1933 out of 5057 acre feet, or 37% of permitted water. Thanks for listening and enjoy the holidays. John Asbury, Temple, Texas. I know Dirk is here to specifically address this particular issue. I just as a general comment, Mr. Asbury, are you on the call today? Do you have I was under the impression he might not be. We don't show him on. Groundwater conservation districts do consider mag in their permitting. But each one does it differently. The reason is that each one regulates and manages aquifers that are not similar to many of the other districts, even in their own groundwater management area in some instances. So their individual use of mag is up to the individual districts. Mag is one of the evaluations, one of the factors that is considered in management, which includes permitting. Dirk, I don't know if you have any light to shed on this for the committee at this time, but you're welcome to.
So I just want to, be polite in this fact is that our board, we believe mag peak factors are evaluated at the local level through GCDs, whether you're multi-county or not, and those are presented as a recommended strategy. At this point in time, our board feels the opposite, that mag peak factor is not an option in our district based on what we know what's happening in the offer relative to what the GAM, the current GAM says. When you look at current, for example, just simply take the Lower Trinity, we have a new mag of 7,900. We've approximately 4,400 plus or minus acre feet permitted. About 38% of that permitted amount is actually being utilized by public water supplies. 98% of the groundwater in the Lower Trinity is permitted specifically to public water supplies. The other layers that have mag are woefully overtaxed through exempt wells. Consequently, there's not available water there long-term for that kind of investment. So then when you look at, and James is very familiar with this because he is a consultant for our district, and we know that we're seeing drawdowns in the Lower Trinity that reflect that for this strategies, depending on east side of the interstate in the west, that that any production over and above what's currently when they start meeting those maximum productions within their existing permits, we might see that the DFC is not sustainable or achievable.
Right.
So it's the opposite of what you see in some of these other areas where we look at the modeled available groundwater and we look at what the capacity to offer is relative to the regional GAM might have. You might be able to realistically permit far beyond that. But yet in our case, because we're small and there's regional drawdown impacting our district, that we don't feel like the mag peak factor is a strategy until there's a more improved understanding of the geology in the southern region of GMA8.
So we've had this request to consider this comment, and we've had comment from Dirk, and that's appreciated.
And my suggestion to Dr. Ashbury is who has submitted a lot of comments to our district is pursue that with the district and might be able to get a better understanding why we have not requested that.
And that goes back to my comment that these are the evaluations that are performed at the individual groundwater conservation districts, and they're performed there for a reason. And then they're advanced to the groundwater management area and where discussion is held before agreement is reached or decisions are made at the GMA. And again, these are very important issues. I do appreciate the comment. I like the practical approach of actually giving some examples and some percentages because they might be applicable in some areas even while they're not in others. So I would agree with Dirk that working closely with this groundwater district would be important. And Tony, I believe you're gonna take this home now, right?
Well, I was just going to say that this is why our recommendation is to speak with the individual groundwater conservation districts, is just for all the reasons that you laid out, all of you. And so I'm just reiterating what our recommendation was a minute ago, that we go and engage these folks and talk with them about each one of them. And we'll be doing that over the course of the next month as we go into the Christmas season. And then we'll meet afterwards in January in a brand new year. And we'll have some feedback from those folks for your consideration. We'll have recommendations for your consideration.
And each aquifer and each situation is going to be different. And each district's going to understand that. That's why I made that comment about the Hooper and the Bystone situation. They're in a very shallow area that's going to be affected by some of their neighbors. And certainly we want them to have availability, but without a groundwater district to provide any protection and regulation, that's going to be an interesting scenario for GMA 12 to consider. I look forward to those discussions. So is there anyone that would offer any other suggestions or conversation or discussion on this agenda item? Okay. Any other questions from committee members before we adjourn on anything we've covered today? Has anything popped up in a previous agenda item that you might want to ask or offer for discussion? Okay, I'm not seeing anyone with. Who was that?
Gary, this is Dale Adams.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate the discussions and of course, as you said, factors change depend on rainfall and across West Texas and South Texas and all different parts of it. And all these have different characteristics along with different landowners and things like this. I appreciate all this and thank you so much for the work that y'all are doing on this.
Well put, Dale. So before we adjourn, I want to thank our chairman Wayne Wilson for being here, as well as our vice chair Gail Peek. I want to thank everyone on the committee for their service and their efforts. And I really want to thank Pamela for Pam is the one that's herding the cats and wet cats sometimes and doing a wonderful job. And I really appreciate the way that she works so diligently to find dates and times for these committee meetings. So my prayers are with all of you that are in attendance today, committee members as well as others, for a blessed holiday season and a wonderful Christmas. And I thank you for your service, and I look forward to seeing you all again in January.